Hello and welcome to the MHG podcast. Not as usual this week because the world is a complete and utter shit show, and it's just miserable all over, everywhere, with everything. So, look, we're just here to try and bring you a smidgen of light and hopefully some joy. I think that's what we're called, light and joy. I'm Light, I'm Bradley, and I'm joined by Joy. That's Stu. I was going to say that's Joy, but
not
no,
bad.
We'll
yeah,
give him
like
his proper name,
after.
Stu. How you doing,
I don't know,
Stu?
Is it like sort of washing up liquid, dish soap, Joy, I think in America. But, I think so. But,
Is it?
That's true.
I just went, it's the main character of Inside Out. Wait, is she the main character? Wait, technically, is she
question.
The main character?
After watching
the
it again,
which
is not
characters?
A problem because it is an excellent film.
That's the existential question you wasn't expecting on a Friday afternoon to do
yeah,
with
absolutely
a really good Disney animation. Is it Disney or Pixar? That one,
remember.
It's Disney,
there's
isn't it? Inside
barely
Out,
anything
or is it Pixar? I don't know.
Anyway, so yeah.
No, I know. Disney used to do the animation, like the proper old school animation. And Pixar was the CG stuff. Now it's just everything CG.
Oh,
apart from video games.
Oh,
you could have done
a leak there. Material there. What a shame.
I did. It's life's weird at the moment. Look, we might be headed into World War III at some point, so this could be our last podcast. If it is, we're keeping it short so you can get on with your lives and be with your loved ones. Good night and good luck and all that. I suppose. I don't know. What's happening, Stu?
I'm burying my head in the sand, hoping it all goes away.
Yeah. Everyone's starting to realise Rachel Riley's a twat, which is always... Sorry, mate. Everyone's starting to realise Rachel Riley is allegedly a twat because she's quite litigious, isn't she? She likes a bit of the old lawyers in there. And Dolph French needs to shit or get off the fence because she doesn't know what she wants to do. She's going, I didn't know this was bad about trans people. Joe's misunderstood. Oh, maybe she's not misunderstood, but you can't expect me to know. You've got to educate me. Please don't have a go at me. Dawn, come on.
Come
on,
Dawn.
I like you, Dawn, but come on.
You've got to be educated. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, you need to educate yourself, yeah. And I was working out. It's okay for me to trip over my words. I just run a shitty podcast and a shitty website. In the grand scheme of things, they are the best. You should invest. I don't know. It's fine for me to trip over my words and not get video game names right. Or say, the cat did this when I'm talking about football games. Who knows? I could get away with that. When you're in the public face, you're quite an important person, especially politicians. You can't get away with saying one thing when you mean another, because that matters. I don't know where I'm going, Stu. I haven't got a clue. I've been getting lots of playing video games.
It's a cracking
There's
link.
Your link, what you've been playing.
Yeah, I've been reading apocalyptic sci-fi fiction, which is kind of, it's one of those things where you go, oh, you know, things are bad in the world, but they're not as bad as this fiction that I'm reading, so that's an escape. And video games, kind of the same. So I'm playing a game where you literally have to escape from an evil situation. And it's called Against Great Darkness. And it's a game where it's basically styled as a vertical shooter, but it's like Arkanoid. So you're this angel who's been cast down and you have to like escape from hell, and that really that's just a good excuse to, you know, give a theme to the kind of pickups that you get, kind of like Hades, you know. It gives it a bit of a context and gives them the opportunity to use graphics that are all spooky and, you know, hellish and stuff like that, and they're very nice indeed. And yeah, It's a lovely sort of very simplistic art style. It's like they're all like silhouettes. It's really, really nice. But the game itself. So, yeah, as I say, it's got like a lot of vertical shooter DNA. particularly like some bullet hell stuff, but also the way that things rack up on the screen is a bit Space Invaders-y, and it's a bit Ikaruga or Ikaruga, however you pronounce it. It's a bit like that. Yeah, fair play. So
Ikaruga.
It's got that. It's got lots of DNA from that. But it's also got a very big Arkanoid influence. So not only do you have your primary weapons, which are fairly weak, you have these discs that act like the balls in Arkanoid, in that they do damage, and they do much more damage than your weapons. So they're really critical. You don't lose anything if you lose the discs. It's just they take a little while to spawn back, which means that you're not doing much damage. And the barrage from the enemies is relentless. And so you get, they attack you with weapons, but they also come at you physically. So it's, like standard sort of shoot 'em up stuff. And it's just absolutely fantastic. This is in early access, and I've only got one criticism, and that criticism is that it's a bit short. So there's only 3 levels. Apart from that, no criticisms. The physics are absolutely fantastic. The speed of everything, the speed of your ship, absolutely perfect. The balance is great. All your pickups are really interesting. You get lots of different characters to play as that you can unlock as well, and they all have very different, well, not very different, but different play styles. The visuals are really great. As I say, it's this unique sort of painterly kind of, sketched kind of comic book style that's silhouetted, and it's excellent. The kind of hit reactions are great. The sound is spot on. It's really exciting. You get really invested in trying to save your discs so that you can keep things going. It's just one of those games that immediately set fire to my imagination, and it's probably my favorite game of the year so far. It's a one more go, it's got that, it's a bit roguelite-y because you're going back for better stuff, but it's got a meta where you're increasing the power of your ship as well. Yeah, it's just really, really excellent. It's in that Vampire Survivors mold of just one more go, and you can't really beat that, can you?
No, not at all. Visually, it reminds me a little bit of, do you remember Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet on XBLA? Oh, look it up. It reminds me a little bit of some of the levels on there. Now, I'm not going to buy this because I don't get on with bullet hell shooters. My brain doesn't let me. As soon as you said there's an Arkanoid style and bullet hell, my brain just went, no, I don't think so. You can do one or you can do the other. You're not doing both.
Yeah.
But it does look good.
Great.
I'll give you that. And I love the visual style.
It does have that bullet hell influence, but it isn't, at least in this sort of, early access version, it's not brutally difficult. You can increase the difficulty if you want, but I didn't find it particularly, I found it challenging but not brutal. Is it one for beginners? I would say if you're a beginner or you're a newbie to vertical shooters, it's a good entry point that will still give you a lot of challenge whilst you get used to it, but it's not inaccessible. So
do you remember driving
fantastic
things you could get where you drove into the screen? You had to, right? I still struggle with that. So, that's about as far as I can get with a bullet hell game these days. Was that technically a bullet hell? Let's say yes. Well, to be fair, you're going up the screen and you've got to avoid things, not shoot stuff. It's a pacifist bullet hell. There you go.
Yeah.
Someone should make one of them. That might be war. But anyway, yeah, I like looking at this. It's that style I like, where it's kind of 8-bit, but it's not 8-bit at the same time. It's like 8-bit as you remember.
Oh, definitely.
Not
8-bit
as it was kind of thing, and I like that.
It's the bits that make it not 8-bit. Or 16, or even 32, are the animations, in both, not just in this game, but in that kind of style of retro, and it's loads of extra animations that just make it sort of chef's kiss. It is It is very
really cheap.
It's
as well. I've just noticed how much it is. Wow. I might try
so
it out.
Probably translates to, you know, $7 and stuff like that. Well worth it. Well worth it. If you got any interest at all, well worth it. Because it's just like, even if it's not exactly your kind of genre, it's one of those that it's very Moorish. And if you get sick of it, you're like, well, you know, it only cost me a few quid. So, like me with, yeah.
Yeah, I might. Yeah, if I've got a spare couple of quid in Steam or something like that, I might definitely put this on the. It's going on the wish list. You know that it's going on the wish list. You can't ask more than excellent. That, apart from asking me to buy it. But it's going on the wish list. Yeah, I've kind of really weird. I've got a few games that I've got to play for review, but I've not really got into them yet. Some good, some average, but everything like that. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit about a game I've already covered, and it's not Aloy yet, which is, I'm just calling it Aloy now, because well, I can't be asked calling its proper name. It's just, I just love playing Aloy. The first game I'm talking about is Harold Halibut, which is becoming a bit of an indie darling. It's one of the darlings, but also it's not had the most perfect of receptions. And I prefaced my written coverage of it by saying, look, out the box, I am so glad this exists, that it was made, it came out, because this is showing human creativity is still so important. AI could not make this game. AI could not replicate this and make a solid working experience. And for that, it needs to exist, and it's a very important game. However, I did say I found the gameplay itself mediocre, and it just wasn't all that engaging as a game. The story lost me after a while. I don't think it held it together, and I compared it to the reason the things like the Wallace and Gromit shorts and things like that work is they were much shorter, so you could wrap that story up and make sure it all came together with the animated style and it all worked. And then when they did go to feature length, such as Curse of the Were-Rabbit and Chicken Run, they already had the experience to move on to that. And then you've got that fantastic Mr. Fox, was Fantastic Mr. Fox Wes Anderson? It was, wasn't it? Yeah. Which obviously had the original story behind it, written by Roald Dahl, so they could concentrate on bringing that to life. So the story was there, but then they used their experience to go on to Isle of Dogs, which I felt, although it didn't get the best reception all over, but I felt that was an absolutely wonderful film. Had a great story to it. The animation was brilliant. Effort. So it shows what you could do. You know, you can even go to like The Corpse's Bride, Nightmare Before Christmas. They've got great stories behind them. Great storytellers are doing them. This hasn't got that legacy behind it to be able to stretch what is a brilliant idea out to a number of hours. And the more when I first played it, I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful to look at. Don't play it on Steam Deck, by the way. Even though it works, you lose the visual fidelity that you need for a stop motion video game, because you need to be playing it in a quality mode to get that effect. Otherwise, it might as well just be another video game. And then therein lies the problem with it. The stop motion doesn't add anything to it being a game. Now, I know graphics don't have to offer like to the gameplay, because you need the graphics, so to speak, to make the gameplay. But then you look at something like Thomas Was Alone, which brought the actual concept, the characters, down to the most basic form and allowed the story to work. That only works because those are basic characters. So, you know, the graphics can have an effect, but it hasn't got to be the be-all and end-all. But I think if you're doing something like Harold Halibut, this is stop motion, I think you've got, and you're selling it on that stop motion, that's the big selling point in a way. It needs to be a reason for why does this work with the gameplay? And those two things don't overlap very well. And because the puzzles are drawn out and the explorations drawn out, the stories stretched out. So between story beats, there's big gaps, and it just loses you. Whereas I think if you can condense this into a 30-minute to 45-minute animated short, this is brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant. Stylistically, it's brilliant. The characters are really good. Maybe a bit wooden in some of the voice acting. But overall, I think there's so much here. I just don't think it works as a video game. It's not a disappointment to me. Because that's unfair. I think this is a technical marvel and should be celebrated that this even happened. But apart from the visuals and that just amazing initial, oh my God, this is like, how have they managed to do this? I could have had the same gaming experience with something more generic, and that's a shame. That's a real shame. I think it's, the gameplay's bang average. And I think because they use the stop motion, you can't really change it up. They had to put that gameplay in place and stick to it. So even if they got better ideas down the line, you feel like, well, what can you do? You can't go, all of a sudden it's this 2D stop motion thing, and they go, we could do this really great sprawling 3D area or this 3D world because we've learned how to do this, because you've already done 3 years worth of animation for this section of the game, so you can't change it up. And I think you need in video games to be able to make those last minute changes on the fly, where you might change an aspect of the game and bring something else into it, and they just work against each other. Unfortunately, it's not ready for this sort of thing. Maybe in a few years time, maybe if they decided to use a mixture of handcrafted stop motion and then bring it into an animation program, so you still got that effect. I don't know. I'm pleased they went down this road. I'm pleased that they did it and stuck to what their objectives were. For me, it's not worked, but it's so important that they didn't go, let's just take the easy way out.
Animated, was it? It was all done as full stop motion in real life. Wow. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yep, whole thing. But good or bad, like, there are options where, like, you walk to a door, and if you're not quite in line with the door, because it's 2D, but it's that 2.5D, is it you called it, where you get some depth. If you're not quite in line with the door, it kind of, like, shudders a bit to get in line with the door. It's forgivable. I'm not going to argue that. But it does notice. You do sort of like, well, I don't want to be drawing out this. I've got to make sure I'm in line with the door, which is not ideal, but that sort of stuff. So, I mean, there's nothing. Yeah. I say that's forgivable. Nothing's unforgivable about the game. It works. And it works really, there's no bugs or anything. I'm not playing it going, this is broken. It's just the gameplay. I played this when I played Treasure Island Dizzy. It's not enough going on, and I hate being mean to this one, because it's you can tell it's a passion project, and it's not bad. It's not a bad game, but I don't want to say to someone who's put their thing, do you know what? Move out of video games. Go actually start making animated shorts or movies, because you've got a talent there. Do that. It sounds so insulting. It's groundbreaking. In many, many ways, it's groundbreaking, and it's very, very important. And the most important games don't always have to be the best games. It's a weird position for it to be in. And look, it's on Game Pass, apparently. If you've got Game Pass, give it a go. It's worth playing just to see, like, this craftsmanship come together. I can't find the right word. That's the thing. It's not disappointing, but it is disappointing. It's not great, but in many ways it is great. And so, again, it's why I prefaced it with, look, this is so important and so great that this exists. Because, again, this would never get made by AAA Studio. This would put the death knell in any kind of project like this for any AAA Studio. This will hopefully give other creators to go, actually, this idea that seems a bit out there, I could do that. People have given this 8s and 9s, some 10s as well. I've seen 4s and 5s and 6s. So it shows where people are with it. As a piece of art, oh, it's right up there. It's a work of art. As a game, it's mediocre. And that's unfortunate. But, yeah, it's got to start somewhere.
Yeah, and it's good that it's a kind of, like you say, it's an intro piece to what can be done. Because, like, the thinking, and I hate to kind of like have a go at it again, but Alan Wake 2, you know, had a sort of similar experience, because everything about it, everything stylized and everything that was there to build the world and bring you into it and make you invested was excellent. Really got almost peerless, you know, and so gripping and so fantastic and genuinely frightening in a way that like games don't normally make you, because like you, I don't get scared very easily or very often, and jump scares, which don't count, but the gameplay wasn't there for me. It just wasn't there, and this sounds to be, you know, almost kind of similar, different in key bits, but similar in that, you know, it's not constructed from the ground up with that in place, and they couldn't pivot. And it made me think when you were talking about Cuphead, which has that incredible style that hasn't even been replicated since, not to that degree of style.
And yeah, technically it has, but by charlatans.
Yeah, and just not in this, not to the same degree of quality, or, you know, just the whole ethos of it and the way that it was built from the ground up and the way that it was incorporated into the way the game played. A less sophisticated game maybe than Harold Halibut, which is not easy to say without, you know, laughing because it's a stupid name. But it's, you know, technically as accomplished maybe, but just builds in that gameplay into the visual style. And yeah, you have to be careful with it. But like you say, it's the first, it's a pioneer. Let's hope that it's picked up and run with by somebody else who just makes a better game in, you know, embedded in it.
Yeah, and it's yeah, totally. Yeah, you've got to at least give it a look. I don't want to say watch a let's play, because again, this it needs to sell, and it has been selling from what I understand as well, and it needs to be a success. But yeah. However you decide to consume this, consume it in some way is all I will say. Because yeah, it is special. Because it exists. So just very quickly though, just to like pivot, it's like I feel like I've turned into Evil Brad, because I've got triple A's. I'm just so swept up by Aloy. It's just so good. I started last week the missions where you've got to go and retrieve the parts for Gaia, so all the different bits in the canister. I've done like the first two, and I've got to travel like quite far west to get the third one, but I keep getting distracted. It's so easy to get distracted in that game. It's like someone that needs an ADHD warning on it, because I've barely taken 5 steps towards the objective, and I go, oh, there's another question mark. Oh, hello. There's some people over there. I wonder what they might want. And yeah, it's like I've now gone, right, I've managed to collect the bits I need to override, like wide moors and stuff like that, which is really cool. So find me something where I can actually override a wide moor and watch it go and attack all the other animals for me. Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Yep.
especially as you override one wide moor to attack the others. Wait till it's nearly dead, those are nearly dead. And then set those ones to go and attack the other wide moor that you do. So all you've got to do is finish them off. It's like, brilliant. I could do this all day. And I've been like, now I've unlocked those, I've got to find another, what are they called? Not caverns. The places where you go and do the things to unlock. The cauldrons.
Cauldrons.
But, oh, there's another cauldron there. I'm going to that. I'm going to do that. Oh, something else has got in my way. I just, like, 50 hours in, and I don't even think, from what I understand, you can tell me yes or no, because I don't think it's going to be a spoiler, but it might be for someone else, I don't know. Once I've got that third theme for Gaia, I'm assuming that's not the end game.
I can't remember. I don't think so, though. I think it's pretty kind of generous. And
it feels like, yeah, it feels like, because when they reached what I thought was an end game in the first title, there was more to do, a lot more to do. So I've kind of got a feeling, because I've barely had any interaction with the alien people yet, bar that like one thing, and then like the other little bit where you kind of go, oh, she's in a box, go and save her and bring her back. There's been no other real interaction with them, so that's got to happen at some point. I'm not even there 50 hours in, and I just keep getting distracted by question marks, and not in that crappy Ubisoft way either. It's almost between crappy Ubisoft and The Witcher and Cyberpunk, where the actual stories you get as you're going along mean something.
They do.
And, yeah,
it's so good. I think it was, I mean, it obviously it got like really high scores in like, you know, the press. But I still feel it was underrated about how good it is. Because it's kind of like,
yeah,
I think possibly because A, it is more of the same in a way, although there's loads of extra stuff. It's kind of, you know, it's a sequel, but it doesn't drive it forward, you know, a great deal. But the thing is, the first game was so good and you wanted so much more of it that the stuff that it's added has made it such a good game. It's technically peerless. I just don't think there's anything out there from the last 5 years that's as good on a technical level. It just isn't. And like you say, those side missions, God, they're so good. I remember, like, I often, like, I'll play a game like this and then I'll, like, forget, like, what you do. I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember the main gameplay and the main thrust of it and stuff, but, like, what the side missions comprised of. But no, not this one. Like, I loved even, like, you know, working out the path of the drones. So when you had to capture them,
yeah,
like, working out the path of that and then working out where you needed to be. Superb. I loved the ones where it's a tumble down kind of building or area and you have to work out a path to get up, and you know, uses a totally different skill from capturing the drones, and that's very much like Tomb Raider. And then there's the cauldrons, which is different again, and I won't go into
the vista points are really interesting vista as points, well, yeah. they get you exploring, yeah,
yeah. Vista point is a genius idea. It's just so good front to back, and it's one of them that I've, my appreciation of it has grown over the years as well, not diminished.
But obviously it's shit because Aloy's not as fit as she was in the first one or something. I don't
ridiculous.
Know
so ridiculous.
I can't believe that. When I was reading about some of the reviews and sort of like comments, I forgot that was a thing, that people complained that the made up video game character wasn't like beautiful as she was in the first one. I can't see that, right? For without sounding like weird creep or anything like that, for a video game character design, she's stunning. You know, they've made a stunning looking character who is like giving her a womanhood but without objectifying her in any way, shape or form, and everything like that, which is absolutely brilliant. She's if you want an iconic female character to hang your hat on and go, this is like gonna be iconic in 50 years time, Aloy over Lara anytime. She wears the appropriate clothing most of the time, and I know you can change it, but all the clothing she gets to wear is appropriate. Even like the factions, like, because they're in the desert, they wear, the men and the women wear, I don't want to say skimpy is the wrong word, but they wear sort of like more stuff that allows their, oh God, I'm going to sound like Kojima, allows their skin to breathe. but you know what I mean? They wear more desert appropriate clothing because of the weather and stuff like that. Whereas if you go into the mountains, everyone's like wrapped up and, you know, they've really thought about the clothes people wear. And it's just like everything about it, it's woke the game in a way. But it's done so well, and I just absolutely adore the game, and I don't want it to end, which is why I'm so happy to be distracted by everything. And I've still got the DLC to do. That's not unlocked yet. It keeps sending me play further. I'm like, I will play further game. Of course I'll play further. Can't wait for you to treat me to the DLC. I can't wait to see what that's about. And I want a third one. I hope this becomes a long-running series. And it don't even need to do it on PS5 and everything, because obviously you're going to want to put it on your modern consoles. It doesn't need a new engine. You could use that PS4 engine again.
Yeah, well, it's like I was saying last week, because it is so technically peerless, that running it on on modern hardware that's more powerful than what it was devised for, it absolutely flies, and you can run it at 60 frames without any worries, and it's, you know, oh, it even loads so fast. It's just perfect. It's just a great game. It's just, yeah, technically perfect.
More. I want more of Aloy.
I want to play it again.
God, Stu, you probably finished.
I have to buy it, though, because I think I sold my copy when I had it on PS4. I think I sold it.
Get it on Steam Deck, Stu. Get it on Steam Deck. It's always with you then.
It's not cheap, though. I've got no money.
Wait till it goes cheap. Get it when it goes cheap, honestly. I picked up. I mean, if you look at it, Zero Dawn went to, it's like around $7.99 if you pick it up nowadays from places like CD Keys and that. Right, it's so, they don't need your money. So just wait until it hits a sale on CD Keys or something. Because just, you know, play it. I'm gonna put it on the big screen. I'm gonna play it on the big PC at some point just to load it up and see how good it can look. Because obviously it is compromised visually a bit on the Steam Deck to get it working, but it's such a small screen, and I'm so like, it's not taking anything away. It's just, yeah, oh my god, it's so good.
Excellent.
But apart from that, you're meant to be on a time limit, so I've got to shut up now, Stu.
Okie dokie. Yes, no, I'll find a way. I might see if I can get a second-hand copy for the PS5 and stream it to Steam Deck and see if I can get it cheap. But who knows? We'll see. And apart from that, as usual, follow us on all the socials. Make sure you check out our content on the website and YouTube. Join us on Discord to chat if you fancy it. And in the meantime, until next week, stay safe and stay sane.